Swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah, but I was gonna bring it back.
But it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
What?
The Sultan of Swat.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Gray Bambino!
Oh my god, you mean that's the same guy?
Yes!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Now this is CVTS, space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, folks. Will Coots here, HMB Radio, on Radio St. Pete. This is the Homemade Broadcast, as I'm sure you are thrilled to be listening every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. right here on Radio St. Pete, 10:15 p.m. Monday replays, and 4:15 in the a.m. on Tuesdays. Or just go to hmbradio.com, go to listen, and catch up on old sodes. There you can also hear James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, and more coming, so people tell me. You know, I'm here to be of service and to assist in this podcasting thing. I have people tell me all the time how much I've been thinking about doing a podcast. I hear that at least once a week, and I'm like, okay. Unless I don't like them, then I go, okay, and then the conversation ends. But if I like those people and I want to help them, I offer to have them use my stuff. So we got James Bailey and his My Mom's Favorite Podcast on the HMB Radio Network. Kyle Roos is going to be doing one eventually, he says. We were supposed to do one last week, and I guess his car broke down, so he wasn't able to proceed in that process. But his is going to be called Funny Pricks. Kyle is a comedian, but during the day, he's also a tattooer. So he's going to be doing the show Funny Pricks, and in that, he's going to be talking to tattooers. And I think that's a great idea, because people seem to like tattoos. I don't know how people afford to get tattoos, because they're a lot of money. But people seem to have that. People that barely eat, they complain about not having food, somehow get tattoos, which is hilarious. But Kyle does that, so eventually that's going to appear. I shouldn't announce these things until they're actually ready to happen. That's probably my fault. Maybe I'm like jinxing the process. I don't know. So anyways, that's going to be happening. And then there's Ariel Stevenson is going to be doing one as well. But she's another one who I like her a lot, and I think she's very talented, and she's a Jill of all trades. She does, like, woodworking, and she's a writer. She's had stuff in the New York Times and Creative Loafing and Tampa Bay Times, I believe, too. So she stretches herself so thin that I don't know when she's going to have time for this. I think I checked in with her, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I asked her, hey, how's it going? And then she responded with a link to the program she's going to be doing, which is, I know what you're doing. I was just wondering if you needed any help or anything. But so I don't know what she, I got to check in with her too. But her sounds really cool too. She's going to be doing this serial-esque crime podcast. I think what she's going to do as well is do all 10 or 12 or whatever she does at once, and then break them up and then release them week by week. But I think it's about a case in Miami in the 70s where these two dudes were convicted unfairly, and they were on death row, I guess, and recently it had come to light that with DNA evidence, I might be making this up too, by the way, because I talked to her about it months ago, and I kind of, my memory is so bad that I think I make things up sometimes, but I'm pretty sure this is it. And maybe, you know, if it's not, there'll be something cool she could do later. But anywho, so it's these dudes are wrongly convicted, and she's going to tell their story through a podcast-esque series. So that should be coming soon. And I heard a couple other comics that I know, Justin Kupo and Zach Townsend, want to do a podcast as well. I like those dudes, so I offered to help. It's just getting everybody here and on time and making sure I'm available. And I mean, it's a lot of work that doesn't really come with a lot of reward other than helping people out, which is great. Could use a few bucks. That would be nice. So working for free kind of sucks, but I'm happy to help my friends. And, you know, you got to put in the work now so you can potentially get something out of it later. I think that's something that my generation as a geriatric millennial at 31 years old has kind of lost. I feel like everybody just assumes that they deserve something for not having to do any work. It's really strange. And entrepreneurs are kind of frowned upon, it seems like. If you make any money, you're kind of like a sellout or something. It's pretty weird. That's just a vibe that I get. I could be wrong. I was talking to my friend Kevin about it, and he said the opposite. He thinks that entrepreneurs are too venerated. I don't know. He might be right. I don't think so, though. With the Bernie Sanders stuff going on and socialism making a comeback. It's not socialism. It's democratic socialism. Okay, whatever. Whatever. I don't want to talk about it. I made the mistake of putting a joke up on my personal Facebook because Hillary Clinton is selling a woman card on her website for $5. I guess anyone could buy it, potentially men or woman. It would be cool to have. I'd like to have one just so I could say I have a woman card, but it's stupid. And I posted this thing. Hey, if you broads want to feel even more patronized than normal by this lady, then you can pick yourself up one of these. And I have a friend, Caitlin, and her father is insane. He is one of these guys who is so wrapped up in politics that he just fights with people on the internet. My stepdad's got the bug, too, and Caitlin's dad has the bug where they just constantly fight with people on the internet. So there was this long convo between Michael Murillo, who's been on the show not too long ago, a comic and writer, and Caitlin's dad duked it out on my Facebook. So I don't really want to talk politics anymore. I'm done with it. It always comes up. Trump comes up. Something is going to happen. Hillary comes up. It's just, hopefully we're not going to do that today. I'm hoping that we can avoid that for the most part. I do want to talk about, though, or at least I thought it was funny, but the Wendy's restaurant, fast food restaurant, is hiring robots to run the front desk at their restaurants in order to save money, because the fight for 15 people... Another thing, they feel entitled to $15 an hour. I know it's you want to make money, okay? I get it. It's not really a job that you're supposed to do very long. It's kind of a job that's supposed to be for teenagers. You shouldn't be doing that job after a certain age, unless you work your way up to manager or something. There's nothing wrong with that. But teens should be doing those jobs. It's supposed to be to pick up extra cash to buy skateboards and candy. You're not supposed to live on McDonald's pay because it's not a demanding job. They got to keep their prices down so they can sell more. This is what I'm talking about. Politics is seeping back in. My own biases are seeping back into this. Anywho, Wendy's is going to make robots up at the front where you just order and pay with that. Because there's really no reason. I think it's partly to do with just having the technologies there. It's just easy to do. But I think the big part was the fight for 15 people where they want to get paid $15 to push buttons on a cash register because they can't afford to live. So now they're going to be out of a job entirely. So that's the free market, folks. That's how it works. And it's unfortunate, kind of. It's going to make things easier. It's going to lower prices of hamburgers. But probably more people will be on the system. Damn it, it's happening already. It's seeping back in. The politics thing is seeping back in. I want to have a good time. I want to have fun. I don't want to have this be me complaining about things in an indirect way where I don't even want to complain about it directly because I don't want to get yelled at. I don't want to fight with anybody. But it's just inevitable, I guess. Anywho, we got a new sponsor on the show. This show is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. And Truvy Salon and Spa is the new sponsor of the podcast. My friend Chrissy Parker down there. She's a good lady. She's has adopted the show and is going to be giving me a little few shekels a month to mention her Truvy Salon and Spa out loud on a microphone. That is, she's located at 8908 4th Street North here in St. Petersburg, 33702. The code, the area code. Book a thing. What do you do there? You get feet massages. You get your hairs cut. You can probably paint nails and massage. I have full release. I don't know. Never been. I actually have been there once. She does good work. I think the last time I actually got my hair cut, which was probably 4 years ago, I went and saw her and she trimmed me up. 727-329-9751. You can find Chrissy. Make an appointment. Get yourself a haircut. And tell her Will sent you. So she feels like she's not paying me for nothing. So thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Truvy Salon. Thank you, Sly Bar, for supporting this here show. Don't forget, every second and fourth Tuesday at Sly Bar, we got the stand-up comedy open mic, $50 cash prize. I'm trying to get them to do something... do some food giveaways too. It's really tough with those with Joe and Lauren because they both have day jobs, so they're both working. Usually, their day job. And Joe's like a coder for computers. He does something with codes and like app developing and all that. So even when I see him at Sly Bar, he usually has his computer open and he's typing away on it, doing chat rooms or I don't know what he does. And then Lauren too works. A day job. So whenever I ask those dudes about it, they're like, yeah, we'll think about it. Because they got food at Sly Bar now, because we used to have the pizza, which was a big hit. Everybody loved the pizza. Who doesn't love free pizza? Nobody. That's who. And I miss it. I miss having that. So I'm going to see if I can get them to do something. I was even suggesting, let me just go buy some DiGiorno's, heat them up in the oven, and just put them out. You know? But they're talking about maybe doing some kind of food special or something for the open mic every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. They give away cash. I don't know any other open mic that gives away cash. I think Bulo started giving away $25, but $50, man. That's more than what you get paid for some feature sets. So come out second and fourth Tuesday, 2061 Central Avenue. And then we have Yard of Ale with Cigar City Comedy's John Jacobs, my friend. I've gotten to know John better since doing this open mic with him. He's a monster. He is, but he is a really good guy, and I love him very much. So Yard of Ale every Thursday evening at, where are they located? 261 First Ave North, I believe. And that's at from 10 to midnight. And last night, I'm actually recording this on Friday, so we had one last night, and it was packed, man. The hottest chicks I've ever seen, they're all 21 years old, of course, so I preclude them by a decade, which makes me feel bad about myself because I always had girlfriends in my early 20s, and I feel like, wow, what did I miss out on? Just hot chicks everywhere. I think because all the kids are graduating school, college, so like they have time to go out and drink, and they're all 21 and having a good time. So yeah, it was fun last night, although 21-year-old drunk girls aren't the easiest crowd to manage. They like to just get up on stage because they feel like they can do whatever they want because nobody really tells them no. But the comics are good sports. Oh, and then we had a pack of Marines stroll through, or like vets, like not currently in service. And I thought when Chris at Yard of Ale told me that, I figured they were like old dudes, like in their like 70s and 80s. But these are like dudes in their late 20s, early 30s that are, you know, combat veterans that were on a pub crawl and came in hammered, wasted. I felt so bad for Colin Means because he had to get up there right when they walked in, and they were a rowdy bunch. I had my fingers crossed just praying that Colin wouldn't die, that they wouldn't kill Colin. But Colin stayed strong, and he managed to get through his set, and, yeah, didn't die. So nice job, Colin. So, yeah, come see us at Yard of Ale. I hope I'm making this sound fun because I had a blast. I hope I'm doing a good job of conveying that. I don't know. And, of course, the Lightning are playing in 1 hour from right now. If you're hearing this on Sunday, they also might be playing. So this might work. But I'm looking forward to game. This is going to be game 4 when I'm recording this. And I think we're behind 2-1 right now. So I'm guaranteeing a victory tonight, folks. It's going to be tied 2-2 after this game. Guaranteed. Go Lightning. All right. Anywho, I got an email yesterday from a lady named Sinead, who is putting together an event this coming week called the Tampa Bay Pint of Science. So basically what this is scientists, real deal scientists, get together at bars and share their research and talk about the work that they're doing. I thought it was a really cool idea. Here in St. Pete, they have events at the Amsterdam on Monday, the 23rd. And there's also events happening in Tampa at the Mermaid Tavern and New World Brewery. And it goes Monday, Tuesday, the 24th, Wednesday, the 25th. So it's a three-day event. Check out pintofscience.us for more info. But Sinead is coming in. I believe she's a scientist as well, which I hope she doesn't mind talking to a dumb person because that's what she's going to have to do for a little while. You know what? Let me just have her explain this, and then I'm going to ask her a bunch of dumb questions that she's probably going to hate me after this. But we'll just welcome her to do her thing. All right, I managed to wrangle our guests. We got Dr. Sinead, Dr. Arturo. Welcome Hello. To the Homemade Broadcast.
Thanks. Hi. Thanks a million for having us.
So I got an email from you yesterday. Indeed. And I was excited to watch the hockey game, so we were able to schedule this right on time because I wanted to talk to you about this because I'm a dumb guy that likes science. I don't understand pretty much any of it, but I'm fascinated by it. So I looked up your page, and this is an event where scientists go to bars, right?
Yeah.
And talk about their research and give presentations.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how did this happen? How did it come about?
So the event originated a couple of years ago, actually, over in the UK, by a couple of scientists that decided it would be a great idea to get the patients that their research was impacting into their labs to see what they did every day. And It was a great success. So the Point of Science Festival was essentially born. And then the director of the US version of it, Parmveer, and David Pasanta, who's the deputy director, heard about it and thought it was a fantastic idea and decided to set it up in the US. So that was 3 years ago here in Tampa. And since then, it's grown from strength to strength, really. Now, I think this year, it's in 13 states in the US, and it's in maybe 8 countries around the world. So it's like the largest global science festival in the world. So it's in South Africa, Australia, Italy, France, Spain, Ireland, the UK, and here. And all the events are happening next week, Monday to Wednesday. So essentially what we're doing is taking scientists out of the lab and into the bar. And it's to really communicate our research in English, if that makes sense. So trying to remove all barriers and make it as relaxed as possible. So a bar is a perfect place to do that. So we want everybody to just come out, have a couple of drinks. The scientists will have a couple of drinks. And we're trying to really remove any kind of inhibitor of the understanding. So we want it to be as informal as possible. And I think the best way to describe it really is it's almost like a TED Talk, but people get to ask questions. So what we're trying to encourage the scientists to not have any like PowerPoint, no like projectors. We don't want it to be like going to class, like going back to school. We want it to be coming out to the bar, like a fun night out, or evening like out, that you can hear about some really cool and interesting things. And we have tons of different topics. So whatever you're kind of interested in, we're probably going to touch on it in one of the events, in one of the three nights. And it's not even just about the science. So we have some other kind of fun activities between the talks. So we have either two or three talks per evening. But sometimes we've got our own version of like bingo that we call Pinto. So we'll give people cards with kind of science terms on them. And you can mark them off as the speakers are talking about their research. And if you get Pinto, you shout Pinto, and you'll get a prize. And even for a couple of our events, we've got a local comedian, Law Smith, helping us out. He's going to help MC some of the events. So, you know, it's really about having a good time as well as learning about like the science that's going on in the community.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed within the past few years, there's like superstar scientists now. It's like cool now. Neil deGrasse Tyson and guys like that, Michio Kaku, those guys. What do you think kind of sparked that? And then it kind of leads into events like these. When did it become cool?
I actually wish I knew the answer to that question, because if we did, I think we could make it even more cool. Like, because I think it's still a little bit fringe. You know, it's still not 100% cool to be like a scientist. You know, it's still kind of quirky, but I think having events like this will allow everybody to kind of talk about it openly. And I think the push kind of does need to come from the scientific community as well. So traditionally, as scientists, it wasn't on the radar to talk to anyone who wasn't a scientist about your research. And I think sometimes people have an image of a scientist as being kind of socially reclusive and, you know, not really maybe having many friends, but you cannot be a successful scientist without being good at communicating.
Right.
But we are only really traditionally trained to be good at communicating with our peers, so with other people in the field. So I'm sure you might have heard of publish or perish. So you can't have a career unless you communicate your research through the written word, and also through going to conferences and speaking to other scientists. But through all of my training, I think I've been a scientist now for 11 years or so, not including my undergrad. Like, it was never a focus to tell everybody else what we were doing, you know? And that's incredibly important. I think traditionally people just thought, well, of course what I'm doing is really important. Everyone just knows it, so I don't need to tell them. But, like, that's not good enough anymore. You know, the taxpayers fund a large proportion of the research. And a lot of the research we do actually impacts society, but we don't tell people what we're doing or how it's impacting them. So people, A, don't know about it, and B, like, if you don't know about it, you don't know why it's important or why you should keep funding it, you know?
Sure. Is it a challenge to kind of, do you have to dumb down some of the things you say when you're explaining it to civilians? Is it, how is it different communicating with your peers to dummies?
It's not, so I'm actually giving a talk this year, and it's going to be my first time giving a talk like this, but I have given a talk to non-scientists before, but I always had a PowerPoint presentation so I could show people pictures and things, and that makes it easy to kind of get the message across. But it's not a case of dumbing it down, it's just finding the language to communicate it. It's finding a different way to describe it. So people aren't stupid, like, you're not a dumb guy, you're an intelligent guy. It's just we haven't found the language to talk. Like, my husband is an IT professional, and I have no clue what he's talking about when he's talking to his IT friends. I mean, they seem to just completely talk in acronyms to each other, and I have no clue. But I'm sure if we tried to talk about it in English, we could. You know, it's just making that a focus for people. And also, if we're doing this point of science, we need people to be interested in it too. But anyone I've spoken to, from my hairdresser to anyone that we meet on the street, everyone thinks it's a great idea. So,
yeah, I was stoked to hear about it. I had no idea it was going on. And it originated in the UK, and then Tampa was the first spot in the US where it started.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
And the director, Parmveer and David, they're still here. So the US kind of center of everything has been, it's been run from Tampa. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. How many years has it been here?
This is the third year.
Third year, yeah. And then it spread that fast. It's in nine other cities.
Yeah, it's in New York, San Diego, San Francisco, Boston. I can't remember the Research Triangle, Knoxville, Houston. Yeah, it's all over now, and I'm sure it's only as people kind of hear about it this year, it's only going to get bigger next year.
Is it an event where you have to purchase tickets for, or you just go to these things? Or?
So this year we have tickets for $5 for the event. So there's still tickets available for all our events. So if anyone is interested in coming, they can just visit our website and purchase them. And it is a non-profit. We're a registered non-profit organization, so we're not trying to make money out of it. And all of us scientists involved in organizing it are volunteers. So the $5 goes towards really running the events. And if any money is left over, it's going to go towards running the events next year. So we're really just trying to get everybody out and into the bars to have fun time with science.
So there's events in St. Pete, and then there's ones in Tampa.
Yes.
So do you kind of have to choose which ones you're going to go to, or are they at different times where you could go and check out, you know, all the ones on the same day?
So you kind of have to choose. We have three nights and three events in each night. So there's an event every evening in St. Pete, and it's on in the Amsterdam bar.
Yep.
And all the events kind of generally run between 7 and 9. So we have one event in St. Pete every night and two in Tampa. So I suppose if you're trying to figure out what you want to go to see, pick Monday and go between like the three events on the Monday and decide like what your favorite is and go to that, because they run on the same night. But there's three nights of it too, so there's plenty of opportunity to hear about lots of different things.
Yeah. So what is your speciality? What do you focus in?
So I'm a cancer biologist. A cancer biologist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm a visiting research scholar, actually. So I'm Irish, in case you didn't
twig
that. Yeah. so I've been over in Tampa for the last almost year and a half now. So I'm working in the Moffitt Cancer Center. So I'm giving my talk on my research on Tuesday evening in Fodder and Shine. And we have another researcher from Moffitt giving a cancer talk that evening as well. So for the events, we've tried to group them into themes so that you can kind of, if you're interested in one, you'll probably be interested in the other one. We've got scientists from all over the different disciplines, from a lot of the different colleges across Tampa. So we've got space technology. We've got scientists talking about shark skeletal mechanics, amphibian decline. So if you like frogs, you're going to like that talk. We've got people talking about climate change, oil spills. What else? Mathematical modeling of cancer. There's so many different things.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website now. It's pintofscience.us, and then you just click the Tampa link, and it's got all the there's the Amsterdam. I guess the first one is hear no evil, speak no evil, think no evil, getting serious about language.
So I think in that event we have someone talking about language and linguistics, but then the other talk is about hearing regeneration. So that's kind of, those two are, I suppose, kind of linked, and that's on here. I think on Tuesday here we have elements and stars and water on Mars. So that's kind of the space themed one. So we have Professor Antonio Paris, who is the MOSI Space Programs Director, and he's also a professor of astronomy in St. Pete College. So he's talking about Mars in 3D, and I think his talk, he said he's going to give the audience 3D goggles. So I'm kind of intrigued as to as to what that is.
So you do, you're in the cancer field. Have there been any, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. What kind of research is going on? Is there any progress to, I don't know, a cure, I guess? That's the end goal, right?
Right, yeah, and that's the question that everyone asks. So have you found the cure yet? So there's a lot of people working on it. I suppose the biggest recent breakthrough has been immunotherapy. And there's a lot of that research going on in Moffitt. I don't do it personally, but basically what that research involves is getting a cancer patient and isolating some of their immune cells that are called T cells and educating them in the lab setting against their tumor. So the reason that a cancer can often survive is that our immune system doesn't recognize it like it recognizes a virus or a bacteria, because it's trained to recognize those because they're foreign materials, whereas a cancer originates because your own cells lose control and they can grow uncontrollably.
Well, doesn't that happen in your body all the time, right? I mean, it happens, but then your body gets it under control quickly.
Absolutely.
So you're trying to find a way to just make that happen all the time so it doesn't get out of control.
Yeah, because your cells have mechanisms in there already to really monitor this. So they'll monitor for any abnormalities and usually either fix them or push the cells towards dying if they're like irrevocably damaged. But what happens in cancer is those fail-safe mechanisms are somehow evaded by the cells and also by your immune system, because you can't attack your own cells. And that's kind of, I suppose, the major reason that I tell people why cancer hasn't been cured yet, because you have to try and cure it without doing damage to everywhere else in your body. And so what this immunotherapy is doing is trying to find tumor-specific properties that only the tumor cells kind of overexpress, that the other cells in your body don't. And then exposing your own immune cells to them and generating kind of like an immune response or like antibodies against it. And then they put these cells, your own cells, after they've been kind of educated in the lab, back into the person, and then they're more targeted against the tumor. So this isn't necessarily like new technology. There have been people working on it for a couple of decades, but there have been some kind of major breakthroughs in the last couple of years that have shown real promise, and that's kind of the hot science therapeutics area at the moment. Not the only, but
yeah. So like now there's chemotherapy, radiation is kind of the go-to, but that's literally you're pumping poison into your body.
So but it's not really the first option anymore. Like and the reason chemotherapy works, it's like you were saying, it's kind of, it's a drug that's indiscriminate, and how it works is that it kills dividing cells. And the reason it's given for cancer is that it kills rapidly growing cells more than it kills normal cells. So that's why it will kill a cancer more than the rest of your body. But it has side effects because it does kill other cells too. But over the last maybe two decades, there's been a lot of work looking at what genes and what proteins and what mutations are occurring in cancer. And once you can find ones that are, I suppose, mutated or different in certain types of cancers or an individual's cancer, people have been targeting drugs for them. So there are a lot of what are called targeted therapies now. So a lot of the time people will have their tumours analysed for specific mutations or proteins or changes, and they'll be given a targeted therapy for their tumour, often in combination with chemotherapy, but it's more effective at killing the individual tumour. So that's another kind of really popular or research focus area. It's called personalised medicine. So everybody isn't the same. Like, I'm different to you. My cells are doing different things than your cells. So if I get cancer, it's going to be different to your, if you get cancer, you know. So it's really well, there are similarities in cancer types, so in the location that the cancer occurs, but definitely there's differences in the different cancers that different people get.
Meaning, like, how aggressive it is? Like, it may be more aggressive in me than you if it were...
It could be, and that could depend on a mutation that your cancer might have that mine doesn't, and that's what these targeted therapies try to exploit. So it's, and that's why one treatment is not good enough for everybody, because there are differences. And then the cancer can evolve over time as well, and you can get resistance to therapies, and then you have to try different therapies. So it's really, that's why it's so difficult. It's such a difficult clinical challenge, because it's trying to target it specifically without doing damage to the rest of you.
Do they know why it even happens? Why it happens in some people and not? I mean, I know there's, like, if you smoke cigarettes, you're much more prone to lung cancer. Yeah. But sometimes people just get it for no reason.
Right. So they're, like smoking, there are environmental triggers, like smoking or chemical exposure or UV exposure from the sun can cause skin cancer. There are also genetic predispositions that people have identified, that if you have a mutation, say for instance in a BRCA gene, that's really well known to increase your risk for breast cancer, and they screen people for that all the time, and you're more likely to have a family history of breast cancer if you have this mutation. In other instances, it's what we call sporadic cancer, so random essentially. But really why cancer arises is, and why it's more common in as we get older than younger people, is it arises from when these fail-safe mechanisms that we were talking about earlier, like the kind of the damage repair structures in your genes or in your cells fail. So our whole body is made of cells, and our cells are constantly dividing all the time. So every time your cells divide, you have to have the correct DNA packaged into each cell every single time. And the older you get, the more times your cells divide. So there's more of a chance for something to go wrong in one of those divisions and for it not to be caught. So that's essentially why it happens.
You know what I see a lot of times? That's I'll see this new thing, they wiped out HIV or something in this patient. And then everyone's like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah.
That's done. But that never seems to be the case. And then, like, 6 months later, you see it again a different way that it happened.
Right.
So I think maybe that the way the media reports these findings is kind of not right, and probably because they're not literate enough to really figure out what's actually happening.
It is certainly sensationalized a lot of the time.
Right.
And it's not just the media that does that. So sometimes if a big publication comes out, a press release is issued on it. And sometimes that can over...
So the scientists themselves are kind of hyping it up.
Sometimes, yeah.
Is that because they'll get money from that? They'll pump more money into their research? Or?
I wouldn't necessarily say money. We, as a rule, scientists are pretty poor. If you work in academia
That's
in a university.
Depressing.
Yeah, we're not millionaires at all. But often it's to try and, I suppose, generate interest in the work. And I think often from like an innocent standpoint, it's like, hey, you know, we have made progress and we found something new, but it's then off, it can be extrapolated beyond anything that they meant originally. And so I think there's the media and the science. And I think this is a good exercise in finding a balance between that. And I think we as scientists have responsibility in communicating what we have found, but also tempering enthusiasm sometimes. Because it's science is a really, really frustratingly slow-moving process. Mm. And key to it is being extremely rigorous with your experiments and then replicating them. So you really need a publication to come out, say I publish something, and then you go, oh, that Sinead's research looks pretty cool, because obviously I'm great. But and then you go, oh, I'm going to see if I can do that too. If I do that in my lab, is it also true?
Isn't it true, though, that there's not really... Once somebody puts out something, there's not really much incentive to go back and fact-check.
Yeah, there is no incentive at all. Like, if you want to publish, it has to be new, it has to be novel. Like, no journal wants to accept, oh, I just repeated Will's work over right. there and he was right.
So that's probably a big part of the problem.
That's a huge part of the problem. And there are a lot of factors, too. Sometimes it's, like, sample size. You know, somebody can report something on maybe a mouse study and then people all of a sudden think it's going to apply to humans and that, you know, we're not the same as mice.
Right,
so, like,
right.
you know, but then there's, you know, if I take some clinical samples that have been donated in Moffitt and I do some of my research on them, I could maybe in Moffitt get my hands on, like, 30 samples, but that's not that many. You know, if you want to bring a clinical test forward to a whole population, like, it has to be on hundreds and thousands of samples, you know.
Yeah.
So, and a focus in the scientific community to try to help that has been increased collaboration. So they have these grants called Team Science that they want researchers in Moffitt and in all the different institutions in the US, but also abroad. So that's kind of what brought me over to Moffitt. Like, I wrote a fellowship in my Irish institution, and the whole purpose of my fellowship, which is funded by the Irish Research Council and the European Union, is to take Irish scientists who they think are promising and send them abroad to get trained in expertise that aren't in their home country or their home institution. So it's really a global community, mm-hmm. but I still think there's a lot of work.
It's fascinating stuff. Pintofscience.us, you can get tickets. Events happening at the Amsterdam. You got the Mermaid Tavern all over the place. Just check out Pint of Science. Social media is there too, I guess. What's yours if people want to find you? Twitter, Facebook?
I'm on Twitter at PhD_Colleen, which is Irish for girl, but it's spelled C-A-I-L-I-N. So if anyone wants any information on it, you can tweet me. We're Pint of Science US on Twitter also, and on Facebook, anywhere. Just Google it. You'll find us.
Cool. I'm gonna show up to the Amsterdam this Monday, the 23rd, and runs awesome. All the way to the 26th, right? Wednesday?
The 25th Wednesday.
25th.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks.
Sounds like a great event.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. Real deal scientists. The new superstars, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know. Thank you all, Sinead, Arturo, for coming in. Make sure you check out Pint of Science this coming week at the Amsterdam or Mermaid's Tavern if you're in Tampa. It sounds like a really cool event. Pintofscience.us, you can find them. Check out facebook.com/HMB Radio to keep up with us and all the events and all the things. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, please. Thank you. I like you more than a friend. I'll see you next week. Bye.